Red Dwarf, Season 5, Episode 4, Quarantine. Starbuck has landed near an old base on a boon-looking planet. Blizzard conditions prevail. Crichton is in the cockpit.
Gravity 1.5. Wind 40 knots and variable. Coordinates locked and set. Launch cover.
The cat reaches for the release control.
Wait a minute. I'm in charge of security and surveillance on board this vessel. I, Mr. Crichton, am the one that says launch cover.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Launch cover.
Nobody does a thing. They all ignore Rimmer. Rimmer grits his teeth.
Launch cover.
They still all ignore him, looking round the cockpit at things the way you do when you are deliberately ignoring someone.
I'll be in the stern, correlating the in the stern.
Crichton talks quietly to the cat.
Would you be so good as to launch this cover, please, sir?
Cat responds loudly so that Rimmer will be able to hear him. He salutes.
Aye, aye, sir.
He pulls the release lever and salutes again.
Scouter launched, sir.
While the scouter is traveling towards the apparently deserted base, we see a view from its perspective with the following overlay. Resolution, low. Lock mode, auto. Enhance, graphics. Pressure, 10.90. Temperature, low. Sensor, CCD. Starbuck's turn. Rimmer is sulking. Lister, Crichton and Cat enter from the cockpit.
Sir, it appears we've encountered a scientific research center.
And there is someone in there. Man, a survivor.
A Dr. Hildegard Landstrom.
Clearly I am superfluous to this entire operation, ably commanded as it is by a droid who was created purely to clean lavatories. So I really don't know why you're telling me all this, Captain Bokbot.
She's a hologram.
I'm afraid we are going to have to commandeer your remote projection unit in order to rescue her, sir.
Oh, I see. First of all, I am deemed unsuitable to issue the command, launch cover, and now I am being bundled into an escape pod and relieved of my duties by Commander Ubend.
Rimmer, why are you taking this so personal? It's the only way to get her back to the ship.
Why do we need another hologram on board?
She's a doctor, sir. She would be a valuable asset to the team.
And as usual, it is left to me to point out the fatal flaw in your logic.
Flaw?
This vessel, gentlemen and KZ droids, the crimson short one up there, can only sustain one hologram, or had you forgotten?
Lister, Ken and Crichton simply look at him.
You hadn't forgotten?
Look, we could work something out. Some kind of timeshare thing.
What do you mean? What do you think I am, a holiday villa in Neogarv?
Sir, might I remind you, as Space Corps Directive 169 quite clearly states...
Holly, prepare an escape pod. Anything to save me from another.
Sir, the Space Corps Directives are there to protect us. They are not a set of vindictive pronouncements directed against any one person.
Has anyone ever seen this legendary Space Corps Directive manual?
Lister and Cat glance at one another, then back at Rimmer.
Well, no.
He's making it up, isn't he? The bloody book doesn't exist.
Sir, I assure you.
Why does he only ever use them against me? Why never against Lister? Why do we never hear him quoting a Space Corps directive that clearly states no crew member should floss his teeth with the S-string of his guitar after spraying the entire contents of his sugar puff sandwich all over his superior's bunk? We never hear that one, do we?
Holly, kindly furnish Mr. Rimmer with a hologrammatic copy of the Space Corps Directive Manual.
Come on, where is it?
He holds out one hand, palm upwards, and it appears in his hand. It is a fairly small A5 folio. He is unimpressed.
That's it.
You should be able to study it at your leisure on your trip back to Red Dwarf, sir.
Rimmer, beaten, turns to go. However, a thought occurs to him. He turns and addresses Crichton.
You've changed, you know that.
Changed?
They may not see it, but I do. I know what's going on. You've become a really nasty piece of work.
But sir, I was merely...
You're merely a mechanoid. That's all you're merely. Don't ever forget it.
He leaves.
What a snap. What a snap. What a snap hat.
Science station. It is moodily atmospheric.
Dr. Landstrom.
Are you the doctor?
They come across a vault-type door. Lister brushes the dust off the door. As he goes down it, he exposes writing and pictures. Viral Research Department.
Oh, brutal.
Another line reads most gross danger, and it has a skull and crossbones beside it. Biosuits must be worn at all times. A picture of a biosuit and a checkmark. There's also a red triangular warning sign with the picture inside it of a man vomiting at the same time as his guts are exploding out of his body.
Huh.
Ken and Lister cover their mouths and noses with hankies.
There is no need for alarm, sir. If there were any dangerous viral strains in the atmosphere, the SciScan would have picked them up by now.
Crichton shows them the scanner and then hits it on the side and shakes it a bit.
It's never done that before.
He turns away, wrestling with the device.
Blasted stupid cheap damn stupid Martian power packs.
He throws a spent battery over one shoulder and inserts another. Cap is worried.
So what's the news?
Well, if I could just beg your indulgence for a few seconds more, sir, the O-345 takes a little time to warm up.
He gives it another shake.
Still, it outperforms the 346 in 8 out of 9 bench tests. A small wonder, then, that it secured size can of the year, best budget model 3 years running. Now here are the results. And we're going to live.
We're a real Mickey Mouse operation, aren't we?
Mickey Mouse? We ain't even Betty Boop.
They move off, searching for Landstrom. Crichton finds a dust-covered metal suitcase.
Extraordinary.
He opens it up. The interior is filled with a row of test tubes.
Incredible.
He lifts one of the tubes out of the suitcase and puts it in a satchel he's carrying.
Hey, look at this.
Lister and Cav are examining a row of 2-meter-high metal cylinders set against a wall. Crichton joins them.
Anesthesis stasis pods.
He fiddles with a nearby control panel. One of the pods slides out from the wall and begins to open.
I must have triggered something.
Doctor. Dr. Landstrom.
The open pod pours forth smoke, but they can't see anything inside yet.
And who might you be?
Hi. We were just passing. We heard the beacon.
Scotty Power was right, wouldn't you say? Life without pain has no meaning. Gentlemen, I wish to give your lives meaning.
Landstrom sits up in the stasis pod. A howl emanates from her. Her eyes glow a fluorescent red color and electrical bolts emerge from them aimed at Lister, Crichton, and Cat.
Why can't we ever meet anyone nice?
Why don't we ever meet anyone who can shoot straight?
Starbuck is still sitting in the snow. Rimmer is talking to Holly.
I'm telling you, Crichton is taking over, slowly but surely. Remember how he used to be in the early days? A gibbering wreck, completely unassertive, no self-confidence, plagued by guilt, and convinced he was fourth-rate. I really liked him then.
Escape pod checked and standing by.
Well, check it again.
I've done 3 complete checks, it's ready to launch.
Right, I'm going.
He exits through the door to the escape pod and then pops right back in.
What really gets me is the way he thinks he can order me about. Well, he who lives by the rule book, dies by the rule book.
The radio crackles into life. It's Lister, and he sounds scared.
If you can hear us, it's me. Listen now, Landstrom's got some holovirus. She's totally barking.
Listy.
We need backup, man. We need it bad and we need it now.
Everything okay?
What, can't you hear me?
I'm sorry, Lister, you're very faint.
Dr. Landstrom has contracted some sort of mutated hoa plague and is in a fearful psychopathic fury.
Marvelous. I'm sure she'll be a valuable asset to the team.
Sir, I'm going to change frequency. Can you hear me now?
A bolt of hex lightning hits the radio. Lister and Crichton run, dropping the now red-hot radio as they go. Landstrom picks it up telekinetically and talks into it, hands-free.
Hello, my name is Dr. Hildegard Landstrom and I am quite mad.
Are you really? How absolutely splendid.
I have a riddle for you. What's dead and dead and dead all over?
I give in, Dr. Fruit Loop. Do tell me.
You.
The radio blows up. A bolt of lightning passes from the explosion to Rimmer.
Well, we know what to get you for Christmas. A double lobotomy and 10 rolls of rubber wallpaper. Holly, I really must be making tracks. Keep me up to date as to any further developments, will you?
The escape pod is seen returning to Red Dwarf. Meanwhile, in that spooky complex, our intrepid trio are sneaking about trying to avoid Landstrom.
Where is she?
It appears she's toying with us, sir.
What kind of disease is it that gives her hex vision?
Clearly some kind of psi virus, sir. It appears to stimulate the dormant psychic areas of the brain which, up till now, humankind has been unable to harness.
A pair of eyes, Landstrom's eyes, appear, overlaid on the screen while Crichton is talking. She is using telepathy to locate them.
Unfortunately, it requires so much energy it drains the victim's life force.
That's why she was in the stasis pod.
Precisely. Landstrom was preserving what little lifespan remains of her.
Well, if she is running out of time, maybe we could just give her the runaround.
Landstrom can now be seen moving stealthily through some pipes in the background.
Theoretically a sound mission, sir. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, she has already found you. Twinkle, twinkle, little eye, now it's time for you to die.
Her hex vision comes on. Abruptly, she runs out of energy and disappears with a loud scream. She has finally been destroyed by the virus.
Poor woman. Destroyed by her own genius.
Genius?
Oh, yes. From what little I've seen of her research here, before the whole virus she had a quite remarkable mind. If I'm right, the fruits of her work should live on.
He indicates the satchel he's carrying. On the way back to Red Dwarf, Crichton and Kev are peering in a microscope when Lister comes in from the cockpit.
Anything?
Quite extraordinary. Landstrom postulated that there are 2 kinds of virus, positive and negative. The negative we already know about.
Yeah, like the flu, rabies, that kind of stuff.
But she also believed that there are positive viral strains which actually make human beings feel better.
Such as?
Well, at a very basic level she predicted a kind of reverse flu, a strain of virus which promotes an unaccountable feeling of well-being and happiness.
That's happened to me. Me life's been turned to complete and utter crud, and I've woken up in the morning feeling good for no apparent reason.
The chances are, sir, that on those occasions you have unwittingly contracted Landstrom's virus. According to her notes, 20th century DJS suffered from it all the time.
So what's in the tubes?
Landstrom claims to have isolated several strains of positive virus, inspiration, charisma, sexual magnetism.
Sexual magnetism is a virus? Then get me to a hospital, I'm a terminal case.
While Kev and Crichton aren't looking, Lister puts that tube in an inside pocket.
This one is the most intriguing of all. According to her notes, this is the viral strain Felicitas Popoli, commonly known as Luck.
Luck is a virus?
A positive virus which most humans contract at some point in their lives for very short periods. And here it is, Lady Luck in liquid form. Want to try some?
Is it safe?
Absolutely harmless. Even so, this is a minute dose and will only last about 3 minutes.
Lister shrugs, then holds his dreadlocks and collar out of the way as Crichton injects him.
Now, I want you to pick up all the aces from this pack of cards.
Shuffle them.
Lister shuffles the deck, then picks all the aces. As he does so, Crichton calls out the odds against his just completed act.
13 to 1. 221 to 1. 55-25 to 1. 270,725 to 1.
Crichton, inspired, decides on a yet more challenging experiment.
Sir, I want you to throw this dart over here into that bullseye behind you using your left hand, without looking.
What? Using my left hand? Into the bullseye? Without looking? No chance.
Trust me, sir.
Lister, still shaking his head, takes up throwing position.
You ready?
Lister throws the dart. There is a dull thunk.
I think that indicates the luck virus has worn off.
Crichton turns round and we see the dart is embedded into the back of his head.
When you're quite finished, chaps, we've got a bit of a problem with the cargo bay doors.
What sort of problem?
They won't open. Rimmer's put in an override.
Holly's face disappears from the screen, to be replaced by that of Rimmer.
Welcome home, gentlemen. If you would like to proceed to the aft, you'll find the landing lights on in Bay 47.
Bay 47? That's quarantine.
Spot on.
But sir, I've screened us all, we're clean.
Well, much as I trust a viral screening conducted by an automated toilet attendant, I really must draw your attention to Space Corps Directive 595.
For crying out loud.
I have no intention of contracting the hologrammatic equivalent of foaming dog fever. So gentlemen, if you'd all like to proceed to quarantine room 152 where you will be spending the next 3 months.
Starbuck lands in Bay 47. Quarantine room 152. Crichton, Lister, and Kev enter, looking positively disgusted.
12 weeks. I have a deep, dark sense of foreboding about this.
Aw, come on, we'll get through it.
This is single quarters. One chair, one bed, one shower.
We'll manage.
Sir, it's a scientific fact that the human male needs to spend time by himself.
It is?
Yes. The most popular pastimes have always been ones that males can enjoy alone, angling, golf, and of course the all-time number one.
It's not just humans. Look what happens when two male tigers are locked up together. One of them winds up on the other guy's toothpick.
Lions, tigers, scorpions, rats, even vultures when they're in captivity.
What are you saying to me? Vultures need personal space. They need like time alone if they're to put their feet up and read what Carcass magazine?
Sir, I think you're downplaying the gravity of the situation.
Look, what difference does it make? We hang out most of the time together anyway.
Yeah, but we all knew we could stroll out the door at any time. Not now, though.
Rimmer appears on the other side of the darkened observation window which takes up one whole wall of the quarantine room.
Welcome to quarantine, lads. I hope the next 84 days pass as swiftly and as pleasantly as the 100 years war.
Sir, I must protest. You only supplied us with single berth accommodation.
Space Corps Directive 597 clearly states one berth per registered crew member. And as Listy is the only registered crew member, one berth is all you get.
Don't rise to him.
What about entertainment? You are obliged to provide us with minimum leisure facilities. Games, literature, hobby activities, motion pictures.
And in accordance with Space Corps Directive 312, you'll find in the storage cupboard over there a chess set with 31 missing pieces, a knitting magazine with a pull-up special on crocheted hats, a puzzle magazine with all the crosswords completed, and a video of the excellent cinematic treat, wallpapering, painting, and stippling, a DIY guide.
Don't rise to him.
And fulfilling all Space Corps dietary requirements, dinner tonight, gentlemen, will consist of sprout soup, followed by sprout salad, and for dessert, I think you'll like it, rather unusual, sprout crumble.
Rimmer, you know damn well sprouts make me chuck.
Well, this is awful. I've got you down for sprouts almost every meal. I tell a lie. It is every meal.
How long are you going to keep this up for, Rimmer?
Keep what up? I'm merely executing Space Corps Directive 595. Anyway, Mustachioni, I've got to organize your daily provision of musical entertainment. I think you're going to like it. It's a perpetually looped tape of Reggie Dixon's Tango Treats.
Okay, time to rise to him. Let me out of here. I'll kill him.
Crichton and Lister restrain him as Rimmer vanishes.
Listen, guys, he wants us to get on each other's nerves, go through 12 weeks of hell. Well, we're not gonna give him the satisfaction, okay? 'Cause the entire time we're here, we're not gonna have one single argument, not a raised voice or a crossword. Not one angry exchange. Okay?
They each nod in agreement.
Boys from the dwarf.
They do that hanging loose thing with their hands. Lister has his back turned to the camera, filling out a time chart. As he turns, we see that he has a black eye. He glares at Kat, who is sitting disconsolately on the edge of the room's single bunk. Kat has a plaster across his nose, plaster cast and sling on one arm. Crichton enters through a door marked Showerdicon. He is feeling the shape of his head.
Erg. I think that's straight now. 2 hours it's taken me to panel beat my head back into shape.
Leans close to Kat, who ignores him.
2 damn hours.
Guys, just take it easy.
He is sitting down at the table which is covered in half-finished crocheted hats. Lister picks one up and tries it on.
If he tells me to take it easy one more time, I swear I'm gonna turn his ears into a pair of maracas and tap dance a fandango on his throat.
I'm just saying, there's 79 more days to go.
And if you still want to be alive when there is only 78 more days to go, I suggest you do not blow your nose.
Do you mind if I ask why?
Well, let's forego the noise and the revolting burbling sound, and go straight to the really gross part, when you always, and I mean always, having blown your nose, have to open up your handkerchief and take a look at the contents. I mean, why? What do you expect to see in there? A tuna seascape, perhaps. The face of the Madonna. An undiscovered Shakespearean sonnet.
Rimmer was right about you. You have changed.
Stands up and walks over to Crichton.
You're getting tetchy.
Oh no, now don't call me tetchy. You know what happens when you call me tetchy.
Well, I'm calling you it now. That's exactly what I'm calling you. Tetchy. Tetchy. Tetchy.
Crichton has covered both ears with his hands during this spiel.
Just as well I can't hear you. It's just as well I can't hear you calling me tetchy. You know what happens when you call me tetchy.
Lister grabs the marker and writes tetchy in large letters across the time chart. He then lifts the 4x3x board off the wall and shows it to Crichton.
Oh no. Oh no, didn't I tell you? Didn't I warn you what would happen?
Crichton picks up one of the videos.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm putting it on.
Don't put it on.
I'm putting it on.
He's putting it on.
Here I go.
There he goes.
Crichton, if you put that on, I'm not gonna help you out. I'm not helping you again, not this time.
You think I need your help? You think I can't extract my own head from the waste disposal unit?
It won't be the waste disposal, Frankenstein. This time I'm gonna unscrew your neck bolts and microwave your head.
Frankenstein was the creator, not the monster. It's a common misconception, held by all truly stupid people.
Don't correct me. You know how much I hate being corrected. It really gets my feckles up.
He crosses to Crichton and stands nose to nose with him.
It's heckles, you moron. It really gets your heckles up. There's no such word as feckles.
Feckles, heckles, hackles, schmeckles. Whatever the hell they are, they're up right now and pointed at you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, guys. Look at us, what's happened to us? 5 days on a sprout diet with a wallpapering video and a crochet magazine. We've all turned into crazies.
Just don't call me tetchy and don't blow your nose.
And don't play that video and don't correct me.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to get through this.
And don't say that.
We're going to get through this.
That stupid, chirpy optimism, that inane winsome grin.
This is insane. We've been in here 5 days. There's no sign of any virus. We're clean.
That's it, 5 days. We've got him. Space Corps Directive 699, we can demand a screening.
He'll refuse.
He can't. He's playing by the book. We've nailed him.
Gentlemen, your conversation makes interesting listening.
Rimmer, is that you?
Oh, yes.
How long have you been listening?
2, maybe 3 hours.
Well, no one's got any disease, man.
We're clean.
You have to rescreen us, sir, as per Directive 699.
No one's got any virus and no one's making nuts.
Well, that's good.
The observation window depolarizes, revealing Rimmer. He is not in uniform.
Is something amiss?
Amiss? God no, what could possibly be amiss?
You don't think there's anything amiss? I'm sitting here wearing a red and white check gingham dress and army boots and you think that's an amiss?
No, of course not. It's just that we thought you had gone nuts. We were trying to humor you.
I was just doing a little test to see if you had gone crazy.
He abruptly tenses and lets out a horrible yell.
Chow. If there is one thing I can't stand, it's crazy people.
Well, we've passed the test, Rimmer. You can let us out.
I can't let you out.
Why not?
Because the king of the potato people won't let me. I begged him. I got down on my knees and wept. He wants to keep you here. Keep you here for 10 years.
Could we see him?
See who?
The king.
Do you have a magic carpet?
Yeah, a little three-seater.
So, let me get this straight. You want to fly on a magic carpet to see the king of the potato people and plead with him for your freedom, and you're telling me you are completely SANE question mark. I think that warrants 2 hours of WOO.
What's WOO?
You had to ask.
Without oxygen. No oxygen for 2 hours. That will teach you to be bread baskets.
He disappears.
What do we do?
I think our only hope's the potato king.
How the hell did he get the whole virus?
It can be transmitted over radio waves. He must have spoken to Landstrom at some point. I predict we have approximately 7 minutes before the air in here becomes unbreathable.
Well, we gotta get out of here somehow.
It's impossible. That's the whole point of quarantine. Nothing gets out, nothing gets in. Not even a microbe. Crichton, any chance of you cracking the code on the door lock?
The chances of punching in the correct combination are literally billions to one.
Unless,
of course,
the luck virus.
They cross to the bench and Crichton picks up the hypogun, still loaded with the canister of Velocitus Populi.
Hey, you really think that stuff can get us out of here?
If I give Mr. Lister a suitably large dose, he will temporarily become the luckiest human being who ever lived.
Crichton presses the injector to Lister's neck.
Okay, then, what do I do?
Well, you just press in whatever numbers you think are best.
Okay.
He hits several keys on the door combination keypad. He stands back. The door doesn't open.
Last digit, sir.
Lister presses one last button. The door opens. He grins at the others and they exit, Lister doing that voice from the dwarf Thingy again.
So, what now?
We head for the hologram projection suite, before Mr. Rimmer.
Before Mr. Rimmer what?
They turn and face him. Rimmer is still wearing the gingham dress. Abruptly, he raises his right hand. He is wearing a glove puppet, a cute furry penguin.
They've been naughty boys, haven't they, Mr. Flipple?
Rimmer looks at the penguin and supplies the voice, doing a rather bad ventriloquist routine.
Yes. What happens to naughty boys who've been naughty, Mr. Flipple? Uncle Arnie fries them alive with his X-Vision. That's right, Mr. Flipple.
As Rimmer's eyes glow bright red, the others, who know by now exactly what's coming, run for their lives. They are pursued by several hexboats, which barely miss them and cause several explosions along the corridor walls. A cargo room. The fleeing group runs around a corner.
This way.
Finding some drums and junk, then decide to duck down and hide.
The holovirus is in its secondary stage. Mr. Rimmer can't have long to live.
As Crichton speaks, Rimmer's telepathic eyes appear overlaid on screen.
What is he capable of?
On the wall behind them is a glass-fronted fire cabinet containing a large axe. The lock on the cabinet flips open.
Well, we've seen X-Vision. Almost certainly, like Landstrom, he'll be capable of telepathy and possibly even telekinesis.
Telekinuatanus?
The glass cover of the cabinet swings open. The axe begins to twitch.
The ability to move objects purely by the power of the mind.
The axe flies from the cabinet, narrowly missing Cap and Lister and slamming into Crichton's back.
Crichton, man, are you okay?
I have a medium-sized fire axe buried in my spinal column. That sort of thing can really put a crimp on your day.
Lister pulls the fire axe out of Crichton's spine, at which point it is yanked from his hands and thrown across the room. Crichton starts twitching and is pulled to a nearby pillar, talking nonsense as he goes.
Hey, your digit. 2 1/2 badgers, please. Hi. No, I'll eat them here. Whap. And dingling. Wahoo hoo. And anshu anshu. Ah, that's better. Maybe now I can win self-determination for the South Moldavian people. Niku niku nikanka, I think I'm okay now.
The door dissolves in front of Rimmer and he steps through the hole.
Mr. Flickle's very cross. You shouldn't have ran away from him. What are we going to do with them, Mr. Flickle?
Mr. Flickle whispers something in Rimmer's ear.
We can't possibly do that. Who would clear up the mess?
Mr. Flickle gets the hex vision. Our three bold heroes run for it. They are backing slowly down the corridor, watching out for Rimmer.
We need to use your luck, sir.
How?
What we really need is some kind of remote link to the hologram disk projection system.
What, like this one?
He picks up a box with remote projection written on the side.
What a stroke of luck.
Now what we need is a hexagonal power transfer adapter capable of holding spikes of up to 5 million volts.
What's this?
Extraordinary. Now all we need is a B47/7RF resistor.
Lister holds one up between his fingers.
Look out!
Mr. Flickle pokes round the corner at about head height. He is followed by Rimmer.
Mr. Flickle says, "Game over, boys!"
Rimmer and Mr. Flickle start to use their hex vision, but Crichton manages to switch on the just-completed remote hologram unit before Rimmer can fire. He falls to the ground. Mr. Flickle twitches spasmodically for several seconds, then keels over, dead. Rimmer's uniform reappears and Mr. Flickle vanishes.
I think he's going to be okay, sir.
He's gonna be okay.
Crichton nods.
The luck virus must have worn off. Quarantined. Rimmer wakes up on a hospital bed. Rimmer, you okay?
What happened to me? Where am I?
Quarantine.
The observation window depolarizes, revealing Cat, Lister, and Crichton dressed in red and white checked gingham dresses, matching bonnets, pigtails, and army boots.
But don't worry.
We're here to entertain you.
Lister squawks like a chicken and flaps his arms as Crichton does a jig and Cat pulls a face. The end.